Good morning. So great to see you this morning, and those who are worshiping in other parts of the church or online, the Lord bless you and keep you, and it's such a wonderful, glorious day. And we come to share in communion this morning. There'll be instructions later for that. Just to draw attention to a few announcements here. Diaconate, you have a meeting at 11:30. Or shortly thereafter, downstairs, or in the library? Downstairs in the fellowship room. Also, Rosebud congratulations to Great Aunt Janie and Grandma Pastor Ann Carr on the arrival of Margretta Ann Yeno, born to Paul and Tiffany on the 25th. So, are you getting any sleep?
Oh, I am.
Well, what a wonderful blessing. So congratulations. Also, looking ahead, Easter baskets, thanks for so much. I think we have enough to fill probably 100 baskets, but we only need to fill 35. So
the setup is downstairs, so if anybody wants to just go see what it looks like for
all the
yeah,
thanks, Peg.
The assembly line and took kids to put it together for us.
All right, the high schoolers will put them all together, and it's for families in town,
yes,
and that's a wonderful gift. And Easter flowers, they're actually the flower registration is due 3/28, not the 4th, because that's Easter. So so in 3 weeks, if you want to order flowers for Easter, in honor or memory of anyone, just let Antoinette know. And Easter's in 4 weeks, so wow, it's hard to believe. Well, today is the day that the Lord has made. And there are times in our life when all we can do is just wait upon the Lord, that He's going to move in a mighty way. And I believe that we can do that. This is holy ground. And expect a miracle today. Why not? The Lord is able. This is holy ground. So let us stand and sing.
Please join me in the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, the God of Israel. Make known among the nations what He has done.
And proclaim that His name is exalted.
Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things.
Let this be known to all the world.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion.
Among you.
And let us sing.
Thanks to you who knew no sin.
Good morning, Father. The weather is improving. It's a beautiful day out there. We're going to have a great week, but Father, we're of so little faith. We look up to you, but soon we look down and we cry out for help. We follow, but we all too soon get lost in our lives and we cry out again for help and guidance. We forget your teachings. We let your commands slip from our hearts. We come this beautiful but chilly morning looking to you to warm our hearts and lift us up and refresh us. We come together to worship you, dear Father, to praise you, to praise your holy name. We praise the hand that guides us, the hand that moves mountains and pushes barriers out of our way. We adore you for your forgiveness, your peace, your love, your faithfulness, and your teachings. We are so grateful. We shout out our appreciation and we sing in the joy you have filled our hearts. May we trust in you with all our hearts and walk faithfully before you as we join together in the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. First reading this morning is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. You find that on page 53 in the Pew Bibles, starting at verse 9. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his chariot drivers and his army. They overtook them, camped by the sea, at Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in this wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And so I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots, and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his chariot drivers." The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so the Egyptians... so the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Second reading is from Proverbs 3, page 510 in your pew Bible, verses 1 through 8. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and give an abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. This is the word of the Lord.
We come to a time of confession of sin. It's time for us to pray a prayer together. I invite you to join me in praying together, number 907. Then we'll observe a time of silence, just for our own connection with our Heavenly Father. It's good to agree with God when we need to agree with Him, and then to receive the assurance of forgiveness. So let us confess our sins together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Spend some time in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, you tell us to be still and know that you are God. Thank you for a time of silent confession and connection with you. And we know in your holy scriptures, they proclaim the promise, the assurance of forgiveness, that as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we know that today, truly, we are forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Time of blessing. Come one, come all. Come down to the front. The Lord wants to bless you. You are precious. We trust your precious blood to be covering and protecting and even delivering right now in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, today is the day that you have made for us. You've established that for us. May we hear your voice today. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever moment, whatever chapter, you're moving us forward into the future. So we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tim Ballard, a former FBI agent, he saw shocking things all throughout the world, maybe, 10, 15 years ago. And just things that he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to respond. What he found out, that there was a lot of human beings being trafficked. You know, you hear about that. And just an awful thing. And so he left his FBI job, or left the government job, and he put together OUR, Operation Underground Railroad, that rescues kids. And there's a wonderful story. Somebody from the early service, Linda Chan, had said, I just read Tim Ballard's book. I thought, oh, amen. So God's speaking. And so I think the women's book club, you might be reading that too. So it's probably very difficult things, and probably our youngest ones here probably should not even watch, stuff about this. I mean, you can share with them in your own way. But they go in and they arrest, the coyotes, the handlers, and they free these kids. And they give them aftercare. I mean, you can just imagine the kind of help that they need. And there's a movie that just came out online. It's called The Sound of Freedom, related to this issue. Can you imagine the sound of freedom? It's the sound of children singing and playing, and they are free. They are unafraid. And Jim Caviezel from The Passion of the Christ, Jesus, played Jesus. He plays Tim Ballard. I saw the trailer last night, and only 2 minutes, and it broke my heart. But it also, a lot of joy welled up because people are being freed. God is about delivering his children, all of his children, every age group. At the Red Sea, the Israelites, they faced a certain capture and being enslaved again. The Egyptian army was encroaching upon them. They were a few days out of Egypt. They were free, their Passover miracle, but the army was coming. Fear and panic took over. But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand and watch and see the salvation of the Lord that he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you. Be still. Stand. Be silent." What Moses is declaring over them is that their victory has already been won. The Lord knows the victories that he wants to give to each and every one of us in our life, even right now, even today. He wants to help us in all of our relationships, deal with all of our hurts. He has a future for us. But we need to be delivered unto him fully. Wouldn't you agree? All of our life. Their victory was won. There are times when evil and wickedness are just too much and God intervenes. He brings a victory his way for every eye to see. When God goes big, he goes big. Every eye will see. He will receive the glory, even through the army that's defeated. And all will know that he is the Lord God. We are in a time like that, worldwide. Can you see it? Can you perceive it? We pray for that victory. Red Sea moments. Ever been in a difficult situation? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You don't know how to get through this. This Red Sea moment, times of difficulty in our lives, and a seemingly impossible situation, like the Israelites who are pinned against the sea. There's an army encroaching. That's when we need God's supernatural intervention for him to stretch forth his hand over our lives and to help. Some of you know that rescue story. I pray we all know that rescue story, even today, even in this moment. Thank you, Lord. We need God's supernatural intervention. There are times when only God can deliver us. Are we in one of those times now? I don't know. Maybe. But God is with us. The Lord is watching over us. So we're going to look at the Israelites, how they responded at the Red Sea. And when God sovereignly allows things into our life, you know, even a pandemic and other things. I mean, who'd have thought a year into this, right? We can see the other side, though. We can see it. We can see a time. We can see a new day. But we need to decide what to do when we're in these Red Sea moments, especially when all we see around us is scary, it's frightening. We can't see a way through it. You know, I just don't see a way. You know, how is God going to intervene on this? So what will we do? Well, the first lesson is to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart, right? All your heart. We trust God. He has shown himself faithful. We have our testimony. Some of us are in the midst of something, you know, that is challenging, but God is faithful. He knows you. He knows your life. He knows the chapters. God is faithful. He knows the plans that he has for you. You can trust him. You know, for the Israelites, he already delivered them from Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. You got to love that image. Psalm 136, verse 12. The miracle of Passover. You know, this Red Sea moment is right after the miracle of Passover. Connect the dots to the cross and to Resurrection Sunday. I'll give that to you to ponder. But their Red Sea moment was upon them. They needed to put their trust in God and his presence. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night had already gone with them and before them for the 3 days until they're at the Red Sea. God's presence. And Exodus 13, 21, 22 says, and the pillar of cloud and fire did not depart from them. They were continually guided by the fire of Yahweh's presence. A holy fire. The fire that Moses saw in the burning bush, yet it did not consume the bush. The fire that comes upon the faithful who trust God. And they needed to trust God for protection. As they did, they endured the plagues. Every plague, they endured the plagues. He delivered them through them. He protected them. Ezekiel 14, 19 reveals that the angel of God who had gone before the Israelites went behind them, and the pillar of fire was put behind them as a rear guard between them and the army. The Lord is your protector. The Lord will hem you in from behind and before for protection. The Lord is our keeper. No evil, no pestilence will come upon God's children who seek him day and night and who cry out to him. Psalm 91, study it, pray it. He shelters us under the shadow of his wing. He is our refuge. We can trust God to protect us always. Well, with that, then what do we need to be afraid of? Well, the most sought-out scripture this last year on the mobile apps is do not fear. Do not fear. But we do fear. We fear death and suffering and disease and abandonment, the future, being free, being delivered. Would God deliver me? Would God love me enough and and allow me to be delivered? Would he touch my heart today? Would he reconnect me? Would he heal the wounds? Will he deliver us from a pandemic? Red Sea moments. What if today is the day for your miracle? What if today is the day for your miracle? Let's receive our miracles today. The second lesson is trust God-fearing leadership. Imagine the situation there. The people were free from Egypt. They were free from oppression, enslavement, and all of a sudden this army's coming. Verse 10. And they see them coming, they're scared to death. I mean, who wouldn't be? But they took their eyes off of God. But they're in a panic. They cry out to God. And their answer doesn't come quick enough because apparently they're protesting against Moses, their leader. Three rapid-fire questions reveal this protest. Are you trying to kill us out here, Moses? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt into this wilderness? Didn't we tell you in Egypt? Actually, they didn't. Didn't we tell you in Egypt, leave us alone to serve the Egyptians? They think going back and being enslaved is the answer. When God has such great plans for them. Panic mode. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The Passion Translation, lean not on your own opinions. Trust in the Lord. We trust God-fearing leaders like Moses. He will be continually challenged by the people because all of us, we get our eyes off of God and onto the challenges, onto the circumstances. But this is a foreshadowing of the complaining and murmuring still to come throughout the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. But Moses knows that he has heard from God. He has experienced the powerful presence of God, the fire of God. He was called from a burning bush, and that experience left him undone. He knew it was holy ground. The spirit of the fear of the Lord came upon him, and God told him in Exodus 3. It's a great story to read through. God said, I have seen the affliction and the sufferings of my people by their taskmasters. I'm going to deliver my people. I have heard their cries. It has come up to me. I have seen the oppression of the Egyptians. Come on through, brother. The sea is open. That's our brother Dave. A blessing. God said, I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and will bring them out to a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And as a sign, they will worship me here at this mountain, Moses, where I'm talking to you right now. You're going there to bring them back here. God knows that he heard, or Moses knows he heard from God. What God says, it holds true. Moses couldn't. He said, okay, I'm going there. I'm going to bring here. And that's where you got to love the kids' song, you know, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Anyway, don't want to get too caught up into that. We'll start dancing and singing. But he heard from God. God called Moses. He gave him a mission. He gave him miraculous power. You know, he did some miracles. And he gave him a partner in ministry, Aaron, his brother. And God said, I will put my words in your mouth, and I'll put them in his mouth to speak what I am speaking. Tell the people what I tell you to say. You know, speaking what God is speaking, it can get you into trouble. But who cares? Do we fear human beings or do we fear God? Moses got into a lot of trouble. So we need leadership that stands strong, holds fast to what God speaks, what his word declares, God's promises, God's faithfulness, God's commands. God-fearing leadership that submits to God and in obedience, no apologies. Then what is done is the Lord directs the path, just like with the children of Israel. Moses could have run in fear or bowed to the people's wishes. He delivers them. And that's when Moses said in the midst of the complaints, "Do not fear, stand and watch the salvation of the Lord that he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you while you be still, while you are silent." The Egyptians you see today, that army, you will never ever see them again. Their victory's already been won. Moses declares it, trusting the word that has been spoken to him. And then God says to Moses, he did say, "Stop crying out to me. Tell the people to go forward," which means through the sea. The waters aren't divided yet, but tell them to go forward. Be ready. We're not going back to Egypt. Meaning step into the sea, go through it, go and possess the land of promise. Grab your inheritance by faith. Claim your healing in Jesus' name, your victory. You can fill in the rest. You're no longer enslaved or in bondage. Trust me, trust my servants. Move in the direction of freedom now. What is that for you today? To move in the direction of freedom now. There are times in life when all we can do is trust God who sees everything. We don't see a way forward, but he sees a way forward. Excuse me. The battle belongs to the Lord. We can trust him. We can trust God, fearing leadership. And third, we are to stand and watch. Watch and see. Do we see what the Lord is doing, what he wants to do? What he speaks is certain. He declared to Moses, "I'll harden the hearts of the army, and I will be honored through even through their chariots and their armies and troops. All will know that I am the Lord. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand now, Moses." Verse 21, he does. Okay. And the power and fire of God fell upon that sea. The Lord swept back the sea by a strong east wind, a fierce and hot desert wind, blowing all night long, dividing the sea and drying the ground. And the Israelites go through it. God has made a way where there is no way. His word of deliverance unfolding before their eyes. The army took up pursuit. As directed by God, they will follow, hardened hearts, and they are defeated. And then from the pillar of fire, verse 24, the Lord looked down upon the army and brought them into a state of confusion. Don't you just love the stories in the Bible when God just tells the kings and the people just to pray? Trust God, stand and watch what I will do, and he throws the enemy camp into confusion. They turn on each other. The chariot stuck, swerving, driving with difficulty. Fear and panic now come upon the army. They said, "Let us retreat. The Lord is fighting for Israel. Let us flee from them. The Lord is fighting against us." We know the rest of the story. They saw the great power of God, and the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. So what, or how will we respond in our own Red Sea moment today? God has great plans, great hopes and dreams for this corner, for this building, for our lives as we surrender to God. We can trust God. We can trust his leadership and stand together, confident in God's word, and watch and see what happens. We can celebrate and rejoice. The Lord is near. What does the sound of freedom sound like? A lot of singing, a lot of celebrating. Let those sounds of freedom ring out. And I believe the Lord truly does want to release his healing and stretching forth his hand over us, upon us. What is your area of need? You know, as we come to a time of communion in a bit and singing and coming forward to the altar, spend as much time up around the altar as you want. The Lord's healing presence is everywhere. Let's just open up ourselves to him. The fire of his presence and the wind of his spirit moving over us and amongst us and within us. The Lord has heard the cry of your heart. He sees you are trapped. God is responding, touching minds and hearts and bodies, relationships, his mission. The Lord will deliver us from every stronghold and free us from any generational bondage or sin or curse. The Lord will reveal his glory for all to see. So, Lord, now pour out your resurrection power and bring us into the fire of your presence. We long to see your hand move, your voice heard, your people touched, and your glory revealed. We pray that heaven's reality would be our reality. Right now, here today, we take possession of it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Lord, we just ask you to bless the gifts that we give this day. We thank you that you have given us stewardship. Open our hearts to be in line with what you're calling us to do. That these gifts be magnified into your kingdom and used for your purposes. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do through each and every one of us as you continue to build your kingdom here on earth. Among your people, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated. All of our bread this morning is gluten-free, just so that you know. And there is a piece of bread on that little white slip of paper there, so don't go flinging it off like you did earlier this morning. And please come forward in groups, how you feel comfortable. Come down and go back as you feel led. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, all who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life, all who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them, all who would walk in love with their neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to receive this holy sacrament. It is a joyful feast of all the people of God. Many will come from east and west and north and south to sit at the table of our Lord. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him.
Please rise for our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul goes on to tell us in the same way that after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again.
Please pray with me. O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us in your Son into his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast, where with all your saints, we will be gathered into glory everlasting through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
forward. Bumps in the road. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, we give you all thanks and praise. It is beautiful to run out of communion. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing, Father. We thank and praise you that we have enough people come today that we were a little unprepared. We thank you for that, Father, bountiful God, that at this table you graciously led us. You fed us. You deliver us with this bread of life and this cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises, tell of your glory and the truth in our lives. We who have seen the greatness of your love, see you face to face in your kingdom and come to worship with you, with all the saints forever. Father God, we remember, we lift up all of the people in our lives who have passed on. they come forward as we get closer to Easter. We remember them as we miss them. We lift up Dave McClay, who left here, and we can only guess it may have something to do with his brother Larry, who is failing. We lift up Liz and Chris and Dawn and Herb and Rogine downstairs. We lift up Millie and all of her tests. As they come up, we pray. It is great this morning to see Will Acevedo with us. It is a blessing to have him join us now as he's done with probation. We lift up all our hurts, all our pains, all our struggles before you this morning, Father. And we just pray that you guide us. You move things out of the way for us. You lift things. You help us. We put that all before you this morning. And Father, we offer ourselves up to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord, renewed by the Holy Spirit, united in the body of your Son, brought together into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work with your praise and your glory. Amen.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine and shine and shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.